لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون، ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون، ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، خاتم النبيين، رحمة للعالمين، سيدنا ومولانا، شفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا، أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين الهداة المهديين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من يوم ظلمهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. اللهم صل على فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Before I begin, may I request my dear brothers to move in closer, inshallah, as much as possible. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, we've had an opportunity to be engaged in some very primary discussions this Muharram. We've completed 5 sessions already, and today being the 6th session, on a discussion stream that is entitled On the Path Towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the path towards Him, we have challenges that we need to face, and there are solutions that we need to seek. And those solutions are importantly sought from the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam. Because the Holy Prophet Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Himself, as he was departing from this world, from this realm of existence, he instructs his followers, the Muslims. And it's a very famous hadith. It's been narrated by both sources, from the Shia and the Ahlus Sunnah, that the Holy Prophet has been reported to have said, I am leaving behind 2 weighty things. إِنِّي تَارِكٌ فِيكُمْ الثَّقَلَيْنِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَعِتْرَةِ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي. Now there is a difference of opinion. Some actually have quoted كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّتِي, which in one way goes back to the lifestyle of the Holy Prophet. But كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَعِتْرَةِ also goes back to the lifestyle of the Holy Prophet, but not limited to the Holy Prophet alone. but includes the lifestyle of all of the 14 ma'sumin alayhim wassalam. But it's very important that the solutions that we seek are not only taken from the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt, but they are relevant to our context here and now. Some solutions might have worked in the past, and they were appropriate for that day and age, for those circumstances that we used to live in. But it's always important as Muslims that we are up to date, that we are always looking forward to the challenges that are coming towards us, not only just be aware and fixated with the challenges that are with us right now. So a community that is mature, and especially a community who professes to be the followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, they will not only try to see what the challenges are right now and seek solutions for that, but they're going to project what will be the challenges 5 years from now, what could be the challenges 10 years from now, and do we have the means to offer solutions for those in 5 years or 10 years? And if we don't, we need to start preparing for those right now. So not only we're solving our challenges for the now, we're also starting to prepare to solve our solutions for the future. And that's the quality of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam in light of the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Now, I would like to today start the discussion on finding the solution to a lot of not only societal issues, not only family issues, but also personal issues. And inshallah, I would like you to walk with me today, because it's a very important discussion, and I feel it may be one of the most important discussions we've had so far. Yeah? To be able to realize what this solution needs to look like, I would remind you of what we discussed yesterday. We talked about the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human being based on the fitrah. The fitrah that is always seeking excellence, is seeking fadila. It's seeking to be better and progress towards perfection day in, day out. And this drive within us is a very important factor. We need to nurture it. We need to keep it fresh. We need to keep it unpolluted. We need to keep it unpolluted from the sins, from the gunah, from the mistakes, from the slips. That is very important for us to start with. And that's from the inside, brothers and sisters. That is something that every single person has to manage on their own. As the Quran says, عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Everyone to yourself. Everyone is responsible for their own souls. عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. And if you are going to hold on to yourself, nobody can misguide you. If you hold on to the path of truth, to the path of the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. But brothers and sisters, now, this love that is internal, and when a child is born, nay, even before the child is born, there are certain things that we need to keep into account, that when a child is born with that pure fitrah, what does it take to take that child from that level and give it progress? And today's discussion will focus on that very important first step, or rather the very first environment that the child walks into, is born into. And that is going to be the place where your society's issues will start to be solved. The community's issues will start to get solved. And that is the family unit. The family is a very central unit in Islam. It's very central. The family is that initial environment that is a mini community, mini society at the lowest level, just one level higher than the human individual, where two people come together, they form a bond under the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the love and mercy and care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they want to progress. And together they decide to move forward on the path of raising a family. And they have kids. And they raise the kids. The kids grow up. They mature. And these same kids go out into society and become the individual citizens of society. But brothers and sisters, even before the family unit comes together, it's very important that those individuals who are coming together come together on the right terms. And I'm going very slow right now. I know it's a bit on the dry side. And I realize that today's discussion might end up being in such a way, but it's very important that we start to realize that the family starts when the male and the female decide on who they want to get married to. Spouse selection. That is the very first step. You know, on that step, you can start to see how your children will end up being, how their offspring is going to be, and how the next community generation that will come forward is going to end up being. Very important. On one hand, you need that peace and comfort that the family offers. And subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran keeps reminding us. He says in Surah An-Nisa, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. Allah is the one. O mankind, be aware of your Lord. اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ, who has created you from one soul. All of you came from one soul. And from within that soul, you had the pair forming. That pairing is very important. That formation of the pair is where you are going to start to solve the challenges that we're facing today. That pairing. Yeah? So that's a reminder to all of us. If you're already paired up, inshallah, you have a family, alhamdulillah, you're married, may Allah give you barakah and do islah of your affairs in the way that the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt have taught us. But if you're unmarried, may Allah give you the tawfiq to be able to marry and get paired with somebody who is compatible with you in the eyes of the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. This pairing is so crucial that it's not only at the level of the human beings. And I think I've mentioned this before as well, very recently, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every single thing has created pairs. Every single thing. وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Surah Dhariyat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in every single being, in every single creation that is a creation of mine, I have created pairs. Yeah? So not only human beings have pairs. The pairs in human beings are very clearly demarcated as well. Allah says, خَلَقَ الزَّوْجَيْنِ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. He has created the pairs. Who are the pairs? The male and the female. Bas, that's it. No other discussion of gender. As they say in Farsi, خِيَالَتْ رَاحَتْ بَشِ. Yeah. There's no other discussion after this, right? Male and female. Yes, if there are issues that come up, they need to be discussed, they need to be addressed. Sharia has a way out. It's not that the Sharia has left us hanging and then we get to decide what do we do with our bodies and our genders. Sharia wants us to be in these two specific, one or the other. Why? Because you have and we have been created as mates, as pairs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to get to the results and the barakat that come out of pairing. I will come to that, inshallah, very shortly. Yeah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He has created pairs in human beings and plants and animals and even from other creation that He has, subhanalladhi khalaqa al-azwaja kullaha mimma tumbitu al-ard wa min anfusihim wa mimma la ya'lamun. Even if we don't know where, who, what the pairs are called and how they look like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created pairs from everything. And interestingly enough, when they do pair up, that is where the functionality and the success starts to come forward. Even in the atom, you have the positive and the negative. Yeah? If you have one or the other, it doesn't give you the same result. You need both of them, the positive nucleus and the negative electrons that are circulating around it, right? There is a pattern, brothers and sisters. We just have to notice what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Notice very carefully and we will start to get the answers that Allah wants us to get to, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. So when you pair up, what happens? Obviously, before you pair up, you need to make sure you pair up for the right reasons. Because if you are looking for the barakah that the Quran has promised you, you need to listen to the Quran when you select your spouse. Now, from the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salam, we're told, always keep iman, akhlaq, taqwa, piety, God consciousness, faith, deep belief in Allah, the prophets, the Prophet of Allah, the Ahlul Bayt, the Quran, front and center. That should be your first criteria. You should look at the akhlaq of the person. You also need to look at the compatibility, whether there is a match. Yeah? And those things that match us together, that are dunyawi, I would say, that are more related to the differences that we have in this world, language, culture, ethnicity, race, background, yeah? Those things are minor compared to iman and akhlaq and taqwa. You cannot fix somebody's iman and akhlaq and taqwa if you don't have it before marriage. Yeah? Sometimes, I've seen cases where brothers say, you know, I need to get somebody who cooks the same kind of food I eat. So that becomes a priority. I want somebody not only from my own racial background, not only from my own ethnic background, I want somebody from the same village that my parents and ancestors came from. Well, you're starting to limit your opportunities for spouse selection. But look for iman. Look for akhlaq, look for taqwa, and those things will come. Because when a person gets married for something that is dunyawi, that is related to the lower life, they will get it for a little bit of time, but then they will lose it. And that reason that bonded them with that person, if it is mal, if they marry somebody because of their wealth, the wealth will disappear someday. It will go away. It will dissipate. Will you still have a reason to stick with that person? Families break up because of this. Somebody gets married just because of beauty. Beauty will one day go away. Will you still stay with that person when they don't look that beautiful anymore or handsome? But iman, akhlaq, and taqwa are there to stay. And the interesting bit is, the hadith tell us, I'm paraphrasing and moving forward because I have lots of ground to cover today. The hadith say, if you marry somebody for their iman, for their deen, if they don't have any one of those things that you're looking for, like beauty, like wealth, Allah will give it to you because you married because of deen. It's a promise. And one example of that is in the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed a responsibility on the elders of the community now, and he's saying to them, وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ, get your young ones married, وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ إِنْ يَكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Marry your young ones based on iman and akhlaq and taqwa, obviously, based on being salih, being pure. If they are of limited means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them needless out of His grace. يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah has all the sources. He is full of abundance. So brothers and sisters, focusing on the criteria for spouse selection. All right, we get married based on iman and akhlaq and taqwa. We also factor in our cultural backgrounds. Inshallah, there's compatibility. Yeah? But now what? Now what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the moment you get married, مَنْ تَزَوَّجَ فَقَدْ أَحْرَزَ نِصْفَ دِينِهِ. The one who gets married secures half and protects half of his faith. It's taken care of. It's protected. Yeah? Now, that's for an average person. Even a person who might have been, might become a senior maybe, you know. They, for example, are widowed and they want to remarry. Islam has no issues in people remarrying. And even at that age, if they remarry, they protect half of their faith. But if a young person gets married, the hadith says, مَنْ تَزَوَّجَ شَابٌ, right? A young person gets married, they protect two-thirds of their deen. Now, this is very important. Stakes are high. Because not only you're now focusing on the nutfa, the place where the formation of the human being is beginning from, and the hadith says, وَاخْتَارُوا لِنُطَفِكُمْ, be careful where you start that first journey of the human being. Make sure you are careful, make sure you're aware the starting point of that coming together, of the two sets, of the two genes, of the two gametes, of the two sources from the father and the mother are coming together. Be careful with that. But on top of that now, make sure that you provide the right environment for them. And brothers and sisters, the right environment comes when the husband and the wife have peace at home. That is the basis of marriage. You need peace at home. The world around you, outside the home, and I'm careful, I'm not saying house. House means just a building. Anybody can build a house, but it's not easy to build a home. It takes peace, comfort, love, compassion, understanding, tolerance that turns a house into a home. You need that. And the Quran says this. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in many verses, but in this case, in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 189, he says, هو الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وجعل منها زوجها ليسكن إليها. Allah has made you from one soul, من نفس واحدة, and He has granted it its pair, its mate, so that you may have sukoon together. Sukoon. Yeah? May have tranquility, you have peace, you have comfort, right? Brothers and sisters, this is so important now that I'm going to take it up one notch. If there is no peace in the family, you will not have peace in the community. If a community is disturbed, look individually in your own families. Are you disturbed in the families? If the families are in stormy grounds and stormy weather, the community will not be stable. Bring peace to your families, the community will have peace. Why do I say this? Let's go back to the Holy Quran. Subhanallah. So many lessons of our life are directly related to these one or two words that move the words here and there. The words of the Holy Quran, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the ibadur rahman. He talks about the servants of the beneficent Lord, the one whose mercy over encompasses all of his creation. That is what ar-rahman means, right? Ar-rahim means the one whose mercy is special for the mu'mineen. That's ar-rahim. But ar-rahman is the one whose mercy is for all of his creation. Ibadur Rahman is a discussion. There are 7 to 8 verses in the Quran that talk about the qualities of those who are true servants of the all-beneficent Lord. One of those is the dua that they say. الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. What is this verse saying? This is actually the dua on the lips of the Ibadur Rahman, those who are caring of all people, all of Allah's creation, because they are Ibad of the Rahman. It doesn't say Ibad of the Rahim here. Otherwise, it would have meant those people who are servants of only the Rahim and with an eye on serving your own mu'min community. No, those who really want to be of service to the Rahman and his creation, whose mercy overtakes all of his creation. If they want to be out and about active, they need to be asking Allah for this. And what are they asking for? They say, oh Allah, grant us from our wives and our children the coolness of our eyes. Qurrata a'yun. What does it mean, coolness of the eyes? Qurrata a'yun in Arabic is a term used for something that's not only at the level of sakina and sukoon. It's not only a mere tranquility and peace in the house that, you know, even a ceasefire at home can be called peace. Yeah? Ceasefire. Aapne jaise kehte the na churi aur chaku side mein rakh diya to bhi ceasefire ho jata hai aur sukoon aa jata hai. Peace in that level is not the minimum. Qurrata a'yun means coolness of the eyes. Your wife, your children are such, when you see them, you forget all of your difficulties and hardship of life. Qurrata a'yun. It's as if the fire is burning. A person walks into the house, their heart is on fire. When they see their wife and the way she welcomes them, it's as if she's pouring cold water on the fire that the man is bringing in with him with all of the hardship that he has from the workplace, for example. When a man walks in, or a mom walks into the home, rather, and she sees the children welcoming her, Salamun alaikum, mom, she forgets all of her tension. These are the families that we need to have. And these families will only come about if they're based on iman, on akhlaq, and on taqwa. And the qurrata a'yun, once you have that, the verse continues and says, these people are wanting to do much more than the family. Once their family is at peace, there is calmness, no, there is sweetness in the house, there is coolness inside the house, they are saying, وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Make us from the leaders of the God-conscious ones. Make us the ones who will be of service to the community of God-conscious people. Here, leadership is not like the leadership that we understand. In Islam, the concept of leadership is tied to giving all what you have in service of the people, not to just stand there and say, I am the leader, I decide. The leader is the one who serves the people the most. That is the true leader in Islam. You look at the Ahlul Bayt. They were true leaders. Why? Because they gave their whole life in the service of Allah and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what leadership means in Islam. It's not that somebody stands up and says, okay, my way, everybody has to follow. The culture of leadership in Islam is very unique. I don't have time to get into that in detail, but bottom line, if we want to have peace in the community, we need to have peace and coolness inside the family unit so that we can have substantial coolness and leadership skills and service taking place in the community of the believers. And you cannot be وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا till you have taqwa yourself. You cannot be a leader and a service person in the community of muttaqin till the time you are a muttaqi yourself. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Brothers and sisters, the coolness of the eyes, and I'll tell you very frankly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed it. And I'll be very open and very frank today. He has placed the coolness in the woman, in the lady. The lady, as a mother, is the coolness that settles and nurtures and raises the kids to be God conscious. It's the lady that, out of her love, her compassion, her understanding, her bearing patiently with hardships of life, gives coolness and comfort to her spouse. Yes, the man has a role to play as well, for sure. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tasked the man with chores that are mainly outside the house. So the person who is in task to be outside and is given the responsibility of earning and providing for the family, obviously will be outside the house most of the time. That person is not going to be tasked with making the home a cool, tranquil, peaceful place. It is now the woman of the house who will make the house a home with the help of the husband. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted the husbands that power or that deference or that ability, rather, to be more specific, that the man, the way he deals with his wife, is going to set the tone for all people living in the house, including himself. If you want the lady of the house to be a lady full of care, compassion, and love, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says in his beautiful words, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The saying of the man to his wife, Inni uhibbuki, I love you, will never leave her heart. You know what this means? And mind ourselves now. I will be very, very open and frank right now. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the Quran tells us, does not utter a single thing except that it is revealed to him. So some things that are revealed to him become part of the Holy Quran, and those are the words of Allah that are specifically revealed to be made and placed into the Holy Quran. But there are certain things that the Holy Prophet conveys through his own words. Those are called the hadith. Rasulullah, out of all the things that a guy has to do and to tell and to speak with and converse with his wife, he is specifically pinpointing that the man, when he says, I love you, to his wife, it will not leave her heart. What does that mean? You want to energize the house based on love? It's the guy's responsibility. The man of the house kindles that warmth in the house that is based on love and compassion by treating his wife in a loving and caring way. When that happens, the wife now is like the source of love and compassion for everybody in the house. Everybody in the house. For the husband and for the children. And she transfers and she multiplies all the love that she has and she gives it to the kids. Now, when the kids grow up with love, and obviously we are assuming that the family is full of iman and akhlaq and taqwa, add to that so-called miraculous ingredient of love, you have this qurrata a'yun come out of it. You have coolness of the eyes come out of it. And this is where the issues of the community and the society need to be studied again. Go back to your families. Look at your families. Are they places of compassion and love and care between the parents and the children? And that too will be based on how much love and compassion there is between the two spouses. There has to be respect. Has to be karama. There has to be understanding between the husband and the wife. There has to be. Otherwise, marriage doesn't make sense. Marriage becomes meaningless. Marriage is not simply a contract that you have at the social level. Marriage is a spiritual bond that you carry forward into the heaven in the hereafter as well. Your wives and your spouses in this world will be your spouses in the hereafter as well. Now please don't come back and tell me, Maulana, we had hoped that the end of our miseries will be in this world and in the hereafter we'll not have to worry about what we had to go through in this world. The Quran says, هُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُمْ فِي ظِلَالٍ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ مُتَّكِئُونَ They and their spouses. Yeah. To that extent, the Quran is explicit that it says that not only you and your spouses, your wives will be with you, you and your kids from your generations will all have a grand family reunion in Jannah. Allah will join your kids with you in Jannah. Now, if the parents are at a higher level at Jannah and the kids, God forbid, end up being at a lower level of Jannah, Allah will make the kids go and join the parents because they are at a higher level. If the kids are at a higher level in Jannah and parents, God forbid, are at a lower level in Jannah because of whatever circumstances, Allah will join the parents with the kids at the higher level of Jannah. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that mercy will not happen over there till you have the mercy over here. Very important. If you don't show that love and care and affection inside the family unit, spouses between themselves, parents with their children, don't expect all of these favors in the hereafter, please. It's very important we have this. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Can I ask the brothers to come closer, inshallah, with the recitation of a salawat on Lady Fatima to Zahra, salamullahi alayha. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, I'll just very briefly go into the fala'il of Lady Fatima, salamullahi alayha. Yesterday I had the opportunity to mention the fala'il of Amir al-Mu'mineen. I must balance it with the fadail of Fatima to Zahra, Sayyidat Nisa il Alameen. Now, I'm going to mention the fadail of Lady Fatima, but I want you to look at the status of women in Islam. Lady Fatima as a daughter, and Lady Fatima as a mother. And I'll just mention a few words from the Ahlul Bayt themselves about Lady Fatima. And you can tell that the bottom line is coming to this. The nucleus of the family unit is the lady of the house. Not only in Hadith al-Kisa we have the place where Rasulullah, when he gathers everybody under the Kisa, under the cloak, after Rasulullah, Imam Hassan enters, Imam Hussein enters, Amir al-Mu'mineen enters, but Jibreel doesn't come till then. Jibreel comes when Lady Fatima, salamullahi alayha, enters the cloak. And then the hadith says, فَلَمَّ اكْتَمَلْنَا جَمِيعًا تَحْتَ الْكِسَى When we all gather together, أَخَذَ أَبِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ بِطَرَفَيِ الْكِسَى وَأَوْمَأَ بِيَدِهِ الْيُمْنَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ وَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ أَهْلُ بَيْتِي When Lady Fatima comes, the Ahlul Bayt come together. And even at that level, now look at the essential nature of the lady of the house. Even in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is important that Allah, even in these words of Hadith al-Kisa, we are coming to terms with the idea that yes, the father is a respected person. He's the Rasul of Allah. The husband is a respected person. He's the Wali of Allah. The children are the Imamain al-Hasanain. The Sibtay Rasulillah, but when the angels ask, Ilahi wa man tahta al-kisa, who are these people under the kisa? Allah addresses and he says, Hum Fatimatu وأبوها وبعلها وبنوها. اللهم صل على محمد. Fatima al-Zahra is the nucleus of the family. She holds together the family. She is the glue. Rather, no, she is the spirit. Glue is something that can go away. The spirit and the body, if you compare it, the body is meaningless, functionless if it doesn't have its spirit. The family is meaningless and functionless till the mother is not there, till the lady of the house is not there. This is the status of woman in Islam. One example. Rasulullah, when he would see Lady Fatima come upon him, he would rise from his place. This is in the culture that used to bury their daughters alive. Yeah? In a culture that used to bury their daughters alive, this Prophet of Allah is telling these Arabs who have just come out of Jahiliyyah and accepted Islam, he's showing them, look at the status of a daughter. He would stand from his place when she would come. He would kiss between her eyes. He would kiss her hand. And he would station her and place her on his spot where he used to sit. There is a discussion where whether this is because of the status of Lady Fatima salamullahi alayha herself. Yes, she is the lady. Sayyidat Nisa al-Alamin, the lady of all women. But importantly, Rasulullah is reminding that look at the status of woman. Now, I have many hadiths, I won't go into all of them, but one hadith of Imam al-Askari pushes us. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Where Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam says, we, the Ahl al-Bayt, the Imams, we are the proof of Allah over the creation. نَحْنُ حُجَّجُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْخَلْقِ. And he continues and says, وَجَدَّتُنَا فَاطِمَا حُجَّةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا. We are the proof of Allah on His creation, but our mother, our grandmother, Fatima, is Allah's proof over us, the Ahlul Bayt, the Imams. Imagine the status of Lady Fatima, salamullahi alayha. Now, in that connection, I urge my brothers and especially my sisters to realize their worth. When I talked to you yesterday or a few days back, when I said you possess sanctity and sacredness, you can have a bit, a drop of the sanctity of Fatima al-Zahra, my dear sisters. You can have a drop of the sanctity and sacredness of Amir al-Mu'mineen, my dear brothers, if you try to be like them. Just have to be try to be like them. Emulate them. So much so that the Imam of the time, in one of his ahadith, says, for me there is a role model in the daughter of the Holy Prophet. For me, the Imam of the time, he's saying, li uswatun hasana fi ibnati Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, li uswatun hasana. I have a role model in the daughter of the Holy Prophet, my great-grandmother, Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, I had a few more ahadith to share from Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam about the rights of the mother and the wife. But I think I'll have to skip that a little or just summarize it quickly, because these words of the Ahlul Bayt are so precious. In the book Risalatul Huquq of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, he's talking about the rights of the mother. And I will just mention this very quickly because I'll have to summarize and get to the end of the discussion with Masaib. Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam is reminding us all that remember who your mother is and what right she has over you. She is the one who carried you when nobody can carry you in that way. And she gave you from her heart when nobody gives you their heart in that way. She covered you when she was not caring for her own covering. She fed you when she was not caring about her own food and nutrition. She would go hungry just to make sure you are fed. She would go thirsty to make sure that you are quenched. And she would protect you with all of her limbs and body parts, all of it. And she would take in the heat but keep you cool. and she would take care of you with her whole heart and soul. And the hadith continues and says, فَإِنَّكَ لَا تُطِيقُ شُكْرَهَا, and you will never be able to thank her إِلَّا بِعُونِ اللَّهِ وَتَوْفِيقِهِ, except by the help of Allah and the tawfiq that comes from Him. You will not be able to thank your mother ever. One word I want us to hold is the utmost respect that our mothers deserve from us. May Allah protect and safeguard our mothers who are alive in this world and give them a long life with health. And those whose mothers have passed away, may Allah raise them in the highest levels of Jannah with Fatima to Zahra salamullahi alayha. But now turn to the wife. What is the right of the wife? Amma haqqu zawja, as the Imam says. Now these are important. That the Imam says, فَأَن تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ جَعَلَهَا سَكَنًا وَأُنسًا لَكَ. You know that your wife, Allah has made her a place of tranquility and love and warmth for you. So as a result, that you know that is a ni'mah from Allah, you have a responsibility to, number one, be honoring and dignifying to her. Don't humiliate her. Don't belittle her. Don't make her feel that she has no value. And act in a way, I'm just translating the Arabic right now, and act in a lenient and emotionally sensitive manner with her. Don't be overbearing. Don't show your masculinity to your wife by showing your strength and power, your physical prowess, onto your wife. Don't do that. Because Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salam, he says in his beautiful hadith, al-mar'atu rayhana laysat biqahramana. The lady is a sweet-smelling flower. She is not an object of you showing your physical strength and overburdening her with it. If we want to be like Amir al-Mu'mineen, look at how he was with Lady Fatima. Did he ever, ever even think of showing his physical power in front of her? All of his physical strength, muscular power, was reserved for the enemies of Allah on the battlefield, or in the service of Allah in the farms, in the orchards that he used to service and work in. At home, he was at the service of his family. He would be in the kitchen when he's at home, helping Fatima to Zahra salamullahi alayha. So much so that sometimes he would ask Lady Fatima to go take a break and he would take care of the affairs of the family and the kitchen. I have lots, but I don't have time, unfortunately. But then the hadith continues and says, O men, remember, even though you have rights over your wives, know it, that your wife has rights over you that you should not forego. That she has a right so that she has a right to be treated with mercy from you. She has a right. She has a right. فَإِنَّ لَهَا عَلَيْكَ أَن تَرْحَمَهَا. She has a right that you treat her with mercy, and not to forget that you're responsible for providing her with the necessities of life, her nourishment, her covering, her food, whatever she needs. And very importantly, and this is where the peace and tranquility comes and becomes coolness of the eyes. The hadith says, فَإِذَا جَهِلَتْ عَفَوْتَ عَنْهَا. If she makes a mistake, if she forgets something, you forgive her. Move on. Don't hold on to it. Let it go. Let it go. Make your family's Jannah by creating that warmth and affection within the family. Brothers and sisters, one last comment, inshallah, and I turn to the masaib. If we want our community to be healthy on the path of Lady Fatima, on the path of the Ahlul Bayt, we have to have a plan that includes and empowers and gives the sisters of the community the value and status they deserve. You know, when you teach and give ma'rifah and you train a man, you train one person. And I firmly believe when you train and teach and give ma'rifah to a lady, you teach a whole family. The more ma'rifah, the more love of the religion, the more investment we have, both at the level of men and women, you will have your families growing because the mothers are directly training their children and nurturing them. You teach something to the mother, she'll teach all of it to her kids. You give her the respect, she will give all the respect to her kids. They will grow up self-confident people. They will have good self-esteem. But if you humiliate the mother, if she has a sense of humiliation and dhilla, she will not have that feeling in her to transfer izza to her kids. A dhalil mom raises dhalil kids. An aziz mom raises aziz kids. Give respect and dignity to your wives and to the ladies of the house. Brothers and sisters, we need to have to turn towards Karbala and look at the ladies of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. You look at the status that Lady Zainab salamullahi alayha has in the eyes of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, such that Imam al-Husayn's mission, again, is tied and focused and centered on the efforts of Lady Zainab salamullahi alayha. Had she not been there, we would not have been here. Had she not sacrificed as the lady who is Sharikatul Hussein, we would not have been here. We would not have heard about the message, the mission of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and we would have been God knows where. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bi fina'ik. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Brothers and sisters, we remember tonight the sons of Muslim ibn Aqil, the grandkids of Aqil, and the sons of Abdullah ibn Ja'far al-Tayyar, the grandsons of Ja'far al-Tayyar. These are the two brothers of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib. On one hand, you have from the children of Aqil, Muslim ibn Aqil, who is martyred in Kufa, but he has three other sons besides him of Aqil who are martyred in Karbala. Besides Muslim ibn Aqil and his brothers, there are two other sons of Muslim ibn Aqil who are martyred in Karbala. We turn our attention to one of the sons of Muslim ibn Aqil, whose name is Abdullah. And this is at a time that Imam al-Husayn's companions have all been martyred. Now it is the turn of the Banu Hashim to go towards the battlefield. The historians narrate that when all of the companions had been martyred and none were left except the children of Ali, the children of Ja'far al-Tayyar, and the children of Aqil, the children of Imamain al-Hasanain alayhim as-salam, they all take a moment and gather all together and hug and caress each other. They bid farewell to each other. Imagine Lady Zainab salamullahi alayha, what is going through her heart that she sees all of the 18 of the Banu Hashim in one place for the last and final time before they all head towards the battlefield and become martyrs in the way of Allah. Abdullah ibn Muslim ibn Aqil is one of those battle, that those courageous, brave warriors that goes towards the battlefield and he attacks the enemies of Allah, and he has these beautiful couplets and he says, أَكْرَهُ أَنْ أُدْعَى جَبَانًا فَرَّا أَقْسَمْتُ لَا أُقْتَلُ إِلَّا حَرَّا. I bear witness and I swear that I will not be killed except a free man. man, and I detest being called somebody who is scared and who is somebody who runs away from the battlefield. Abdullah ibn Muslim comes towards the Imam and he seeks permission, and he goes towards the battlefield as he's reciting these couplets. Sheikh al-Saduq in his Al-Amali, he narrates that as Abdullah ibn Muslim charges towards the battlefield, he is reciting these couplets, and suddenly when he has now penetrated into the battlefield, into the forces of the enemy, there is a man called Amr ibn Sabih that comes upon and he attacks Abdullah ibn Muslim ibn Aqil. Abdullah, when he realizes that an arrow is being flung towards him, he puts his hand on the forehead. Suddenly the arrow that was coming towards him pins the hand on his forehead. The enemy forces start to laugh at Muslim ibn Aqil's son Abdullah, and they realize that his hand is not free anymore, so he could defend himself. They all attack him from all sides, and an enemy of Allah, Amr ibn Sabir, hurls a spear towards Abdullah that tears open his chest. Imam al-Hussein alayhi Salam is now being faced with another question. He now has to give permission to the children of Zainab al-Kubra. Zainab al-Kubra and her sons Aun and Muhammad come towards Imam al-Hussein. They are the sons of Abdullah ibn Ja'far al-Tayyar. Who is Ja'far al-Tayyar? If you want to know the history of Islam, you have to know Ja'far al-Tayyar. Ja'far al-Tayyar is the one who is the first leader of the clan, of the group of Muslims that goes towards the Hijrah and goes towards Ethiopia and Habasha, and they seek refuge in the land of Ethiopia, and he is the one who openly claims the oneness of Allah in front of the Christian king Negus Najashi, and he is the one who, when he returns to Medina, Rasulullah is so happy that the day he returned is the same day that the Muslims had fought and won over the battle of Khaybar. When the Muslims come back and Ja'far al-Tayyar returns from Ethiopia on the same day, Rasulullah remarks and says, I don't know which of these two events is making me happier. Is it the win in Khaybar or is it the return of Ja'far al-Tayyar? This is the status of Ja'far al-Tayyar, who was martyred in the battlefield of Muta, and he was martyred in a way where both of his arms were chopped off, just like Abul Fadl al-Abbas, and Allah's grants him two wings to fly with in Jannah, and that is why he's known as Ja'far al-Tayyar, the one with two wings. Brothers and sisters, now Ja'far al-Tayyar's grandsons are coming towards Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Now be it known that Aun and Muhammad had not joined Imam al-Hussein when he left with Lady Zainab on the 28th of Rajab. They had stayed back with their father at that time, but when Imam al-Hussein decides to leave Mecca to go towards Kufa, Aun and Muhammad are sent with a letter from their father towards Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. The letter writes, "In halakta al-yawm tafi'a nur al-ard." If you are killed today, O Imam al-Hussein, the light of the earth will be extinguished. Fa'innaka alamul muhtadin. For indeed you are the standard of the guided ones. Imam al-Hussein takes in Aun and Muhammad with him. They are happy to be reunited with their mother, Lady Zainab, salamullahi alayha, as they come towards the day of Ashura. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam realizes that his death is upon him, and he utters some couplets that Lady Zainab hears, and she starts weeping and crying, and she says, "Oh my dear brother, this is the sign of a person who is calling and remembering his death." Imam al-Hussein consoles her on the night of Ashura that indeed the next day will be the last day of his life. Lady Zainab does not leave any stone unturned to defend her brother. She comes forward. When the children of Aqil are martyred, she sends Aun and Muhammad and she tells them, "Go to your uncle and ask him permission to go to the battlefield." Aun and Muhammad are granted permission with the intercession of their mother. They both go towards the battlefield. Aun and Muhammad are very young in their age, in the age range of 10 to 13 years. Aun and Muhammad both attack the enemies in the battlefield. One of them, Aun, comes forward and says, "In tankuruni fa ana ibn Ja'far. If you don't know me, I am the son of Ja'far. Shahidu Sidqin fil Janani Azhar. Yatiru fiha bi jinahin akhdar. Kafa bihadha sharafan fil mahshar. He describes himself and introduces himself. The enemies are running away from the attack of the son of Abdullah ibn Ja'far. On the other hand, Muhammad enters the battlefield. He kills horsemen and almost 10-foot soldiers. He says, Nashku ilallahi min al-udwan. Qitalu qawmin fil rada umyan. Qad taraku ma'alim al-Qur'an. Wa muhkam al-tanzili wa tibyan. He is describing and reminding them of the haq, and he's reminding them of the status that he has with the Ahlul Bayt. But then, alas, the enemies could not stand the attack of the two flowers of the Ahlul Bayt. They surround them from all two sides, and they attack Ma'un and Muhammad together. The sons of Ja'far al-Tayyar fall onto the ground as if flowers fall with their petals dispersed. They fall onto the plains of Karbala. Now the interesting part is, then when Imam al-Hussein runs towards the battlefield, and he brings Ma'un and Muhammad back to the camps, we find that Lady Zainab does not come to the tent. She doesn't come to the door. She doesn't come out of her tents to welcome her sons. But let's turn our attention to the time Imam al-Hussein brought Ali al-Akbar. And she saw that Ali Akbar was being brought by Imam al-Hussein. She cries out, Ya Ukhayya, Wabna Ukhayya. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of Lady Fatima al-Zahra Salamullahi alayha to grant us in our families the peace and tranquility, the coolness of the eyes that will prepare us to have stable families, stable communities, and flowering societies that will welcome the Imam of our time, inshallah. Matami Hussein.